I'm now ready to begin a study of dispensational versus covenant theologies. These are very important concepts to understand in order to understand the issues concerning church and state law, separation of church and state. Before I get to that, I want to get into some definitions that we need to have down before we can fully understand the issues. Definitions of separation of church and state, established church, and religious freedom or soul liberty are necessary in order to understand the principle of separation of church and state. The biblical principle of separation of church and state is that God desires both the church and the state to choose to be under God, but desires neither to be over or to work hand in hand with the other. The state has earthly responsibilities under God. The church has spiritual responsibilities under God. The Bible contains distinctive principles for both the church and the state. The two are totally separate entities, both ordained by God, who desires both to submit to Him in love and to be guided by His principles as stated in His Word. An established church is a church who is an integral part of the state and receives state support. The established church and state reach an agreement or enter into a contract whereby either the state aids the church in attaining earthly and or spiritual goals, or vice versa. And the state runs the church, or the established church runs the state. The church and state work hand in hand to enforce earthly and spiritual laws and principles. In modern America, state churches are influenced, perverted, and are perhaps dominated by state-enforced satanic principles, as I will continue to show as we go along. Historically, the established church has either been over the state, or the state has been over the established church. When the state has been over the church, the state directs the affairs of the church to a greater or lesser degree, and vice versa. In either case, the spiritual affairs of the church are mixed with the earthly responsibilities of the state. In the past, in either a church-state or state-church, leaders of both church and state operated under a false theology based upon false biblical principles. The result was torture, imprisonment, and/or the killing of those who refused to bow down to the theology of the church-state or state-church. Religious freedom exists when every citizen has, by law, the choice, without persecution, of choosing God, false gods, or a false god, or no god at all. Religious freedom is what God desires in a Gentile nation, as shown in His Word. Even though He desires Gentile nations to provide for religious liberty, He also wants them to submit themselves to Him and to His principles, and to recognize that Jesus Christ is the supreme sovereign. Thus, a nation modeled after biblical principles will provide for religious liberty while also operating under God and His principles. In today's incorporated 501c3 church in America, the rules of civil government for the church are secular, and the civil government enforces certain public policies, even when those policies go against biblical principles. Christians in America suffer a mild degree of persecution, a very mild degree of persecution, I might add. By religious freedom or soul liberty is meant the natural and inalienable right of every soul to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, and to be unmolested in the exercise of that right, so long at least as he does not infringe upon the rights of others. That religion is and must be a voluntary service, that only such service is acceptable to God, and hence that no earthly power, whether civil or ecclesiastical, has any right to compel conformity to any creed or to any species of worship, or to tax a man for its support. The Bible says, "If the Son hath set you free, you're free indeed." If you are a saved, born again, a Christian, you have these freedoms no matter what the civil government says. A tyrannical government may persecute you for exercising those freedoms, but the Bible says, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This principle gives to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but it denies to Caesar the things that are God's. It does not make it a matter of indifference what a man believes or how he acts, but it places all on the same footing before God, the only Lord of the conscience, and makes us responsible to Him alone for our faith and practice. By 1900, this doctrine was very generally accepted, not only in Virginia, but also throughout the United States. It had been incorporated into our national and state constitutions, and it was the basis for our civil liberties.